All right, let's open up the phone lines. Let's talk about what took place yesterday at the trade deadline. Scott Harris going bargain bin. Going quantity, not quality, and just hoping something sticks. I thought it was pathetic. You have the best record in the American League. You are in the conversation for the World Series. Act like it. They did not act like their goal was to win the World Series. They acted like his job is to make the playoffs, and then he said the quiet part out loud. My job is to make the playoffs. Finnegan and friends, John. The New York Yankees added three quality, controllable bullpen arms, including David Bednar, and they didn't mortgage the future. Witchcraft. How could they have pulled that off? Our genius didn't. Their guy did. How is that possible? The Yankees are one of the competitors in the American League. They have a better 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. They added three legit arms for their bullpen. We added what? Who? Huh? How? One of them doesn't have a baseball reference page.
Right.
Like John, I'm going through the guys that the Tigers brought in yesterday. Charlie Morton's 41 years old and having a terrible season. I'm sorry. If you have to chop off the first month and the last month to find me that he's a decent arm, he's not. He had a 5 ERA in the month of July in 5 starts and a whip of 1.5. He's not good and he's 41. Montero, DFA'd last year, traded twice this year, and has a 5 ERA. Paul Sewald is hurt on the 60-day. Cody Hoyer is a AAA arm, and Randy Dobnik has a 7 ERA in AAA after being DFA'd by the Twins. Those are the guys they brought in. Paddock replaces Olsen. Finnegan's legit. That's it. That's underwhelming. For a team that is in the World Series conversation, that's simply not good enough.
So let's go back to, okay, they didn't add an arm and a bat. But they did add an arm. Now, the other ones are, you know, they're fluff, they're whatever. But Finnegan is a legitimate arm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not what we asked for?
No, we did the shows.
I know you asked for more. You wanted a bat and an arm.
Was I asking for too much?
No, I don't think you were asking for too much. But I know when you throw in there Morton, you throw in there all of these other ones, it's, and I know Olsen and Paddock, that's a wash. But they did add an impact arm in the bullpen.
They added Finnegan.
Right.
Okay. The Yankees added three.
So
again, some of this is you're going to get the we're better today. Or I think Harris said we're a lot better today, which I... Okay.
We are better today.
Okay. But it's in the context of everybody who adds a player is going to say they're better. Are you more better? To be grammatically incorrect. Because you have to be judging this in the context of are you better than the teams you're competing with?
Right. Seattle got better.
Yes.
I have to kind of find a better way to say this.
I know what you mean.
They did more to improve their team than the Tigers did. The Yankees did more to improve their team than the Tigers did.
I mean, you could say the Blue Jays. They added a reliever as well. If the bare minimum is just add a reliever, that's what Toronto did.
Well, what I have been saying it for a couple of months. I wanted them to add an impact arm in the bullpen.
Does Finnegan count as an impact arm to you?
I think it's better than they were.
But and that's
I think
not the it, bar. Hold on. The bullpen was bad. Don't do that, John.
Are they better?
They could have added anybody, and you said they're better because it's somebody different. Well, and Federer's going to work with
them. I don't think it's just because it's somebody different. Federer's got a lot to work with. But it's all of the fluff that comes outside of Kyle Finnegan.
Are you trying to tell me you're not disappointed in this?
I'm disappointed, okay. But I'm not as outraged as you are. We still are a team that has tied for the most wins in all of baseball.
I wish they would have acted that way. Like, I'll root like hell for them as my baseball team. I'm just disappointed in them.
Okay.
And it fires me up that you only get so many cracks at this. Now, they think windows don't exist, and they do. I mean, Scooble's not guaranteed beyond next season.
Right. And next season, we're going to talk about, hey, who are they signing in free agency? Are they going to get a third base, an everyday third baseman with a right-handed bat or with a bat? So that's the offseason conversation. How are they going to get better for next year if that's the last year of Tarek Skubal? But are they better today than they were when they took the field on, what's today, Friday? On Wednesday.
In context, no.
In context.
Yeah, I want to give people the full picture.
Okay.
I don't want to just do slappy radio. They added a player, so they're better. Fine. Okay.
Okay.
They added a major league arm, therefore they're better, John.
Well, we'll see what Chris Federer can do with all of the, you know, projects that he's been given. And they are projects because they don't have great ERAs. But we watched that last year where they took a guy with a 9 ERA in minor league baseball and made him an ace for 2 months. I don't know that that works again this year. It hasn't worked to this point this year.
It's a volatile way to do things. And they caught lightning in a bottle. And Federer is a great pitching coach and can get the most out of these guys. But it also isn't the path to winning the whole thing. Right? Like, that's what you would think. If you get to the deadline, you get off to a hot start, you get the best record, you would think your front office would put more into this. I mean, there was a rival exec, and I think he's right in saying this. They didn't want to give up anything of value at the deadline. I mean, that's pathetic, that you don't want to give up anything of value at the deadline as a team who's in the thick of it. How am I supposed to interpret that as a fan? You don't care, why should I? I mean, I'm going to because I'm invested in this baseball team, but why should I be?
Right. So did their odds of winning the World Series go down? I think they did.
Okay.
But they didn't go to zero.
Correct.
So now we're going to have to see what AJ Hinch is going to do with his magic wand that we were praising at the beginning of the year for the lineup that we praised last year in the pitching chaos. I don't want to sit here and wait every day to see, oh, who is he going to, you know, use for two outs to match up against this lineup and then bring in somebody else for another out in this lineup, because you can't do that in the postseason.
Yeah. Listen, we got open lines. Did they do enough to you? And if you want to give it a word, I said pathetic. You want to give it a grade, I give it a D. However you want to participate in the conversation. Our baseball team's in a World Series hunt. Could have fooled me. 248-539-9797. John, I know you don't do draft grades.
No.
Do you do deadline grades?
No, because you have to see how these players perform.
Right, but like, have an opinion today. Like, your view of this.
I just told you I'm disappointed that they didn't do more.
D for disappointed or C for disappointed?
I'm not gonna give a grade. You're such an idiot sometimes when you ask me the question I've already answered. No, it's am I disappointed? Yes, that they didn't do more? Sure, but it doesn't mean that they can't still win.
Well, of course it doesn't. John, they're going to keep playing the games.
Yeah.
Correct. They didn't cancel the season because they didn't add enough arms. They're still going to play the games. But are they making this harder on themselves? Yes.
Yeah. Could they have made it easier? Yes. But now we're going to have to see what happens.
And what gets me, too, is, like, yes, they could have made it easier on themselves. And would it have really cost a whole lot? No. Right? I mean, John.
Not for what was handed out.
Right.
No.
Yeah. I mean, all we know are the prices guys went for. I mean, that's
what
the best.
This also means is when you look at, you know, all of the Tigers prospects, and I'm looking at it going, you know, Kevin McGonigal. All right. If Scott Harris is saying that we don't want to trade these guys, well, then they better hit. Max Clark better be a ball player. Bryce Rainer, when he's healthy, better be a ball player. Jose Briseño, Thyron Lorenzo. Like, you go down the list of guys that they, yeah, How You Lee, Chris Rodriguez. Now, Chris Rodriguez is kind of interesting. He's
17
so new.
Years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Max Anderson, better be a ball player.
Yeah. Troy Melton, better be a ball player.
And if you're going that far down the list, we just talked about 10 guys. I left off Troy Melton because he's already here.
Yeah.
And I'll leave Chris Rodriguez. So 8 guys. And I'll throw in Jade Hamm, right-hand pitcher, number 10.
Yeah.
All right. These guys better produce. They better be ball players.
Well, Harris has essentially told us they will. He said if we traded these guys, they would haunt us. He said that yesterday. So he that to me is the definition of falling in love with your system, though.
You're on the clock for your guys.
But you understand what this is saying.
But the percentages of 8 guys paying off.
That's just what I was going to say. I'm holding him to 100% hit rate because they'd all haunt him. He can't give up any of them. They all have to hit. That's unrealistic, and he should know that, and he does know that. That's why I'm so confused as a guy in that position with that much access to information, that much experience in multiple organizations, that this is how they conducted business at the trade deadline. Let's get to the phones. Mike in Livonia, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. John, go blue, buddy.
Go blue.
I am going to go ahead and side with John today, though. Honestly, John, I get it. Maybe you don't trade your top 5 prospects, but, you know, for every prospect that Turla, you know, that gets paraded out there as the next big thing, you know. We traded Andrew Miller back in the day and Cameron Bateman, right, for Miguel Cabrera. I would do that trade every single day because at the end of the day, you do have to take some chance and maybe, you know, take a look at some of these players and project that maybe some of these players are just not going to be as good as you think they will be. So you have to give up something to get something. And I'm kind of getting sick of Brad Holmes and Sky Harris when it comes to one thing only and one thing only, and that is injury-prone players and reclamation project. It's like Davenport. Dude, I can't count on the guy. So can we get somebody who's healthy, who's going to produce, and I can count on him? You know, we can say that Federer is going to fix everybody, but is he really? Because Jack Flaherty is still struggling this year. We lost Reese Olsen to an injury for the rest of the season, and Jackson Jove is gone. Alex Cobb, another project of his, has been a complete failure. So he's, you know, listen, I got to give him his kudos. They're the best team in baseball, at least for most of the season, and they're playing a hell of a season so far.
But you're sick of him.
Derek Scoobal, no, with Derek Scoobal being on the clock that he is.
But you just said you were sick of Scott Harris.
In one aspect only, he said.
In one aspect only.
See, Mike, I'm listening to you.
And that is, in one aspect only. And that is, sometimes you just have to take a chance on something and believe in your team. And if you don't believe, I mean, I get that he believes in those prospects, but one of those prospects could have been gone and gotten a Suarez.
Mike, you may have stumbled onto something. Does he believe in the prospects more than the major league team?
And I believe he does. And if you ask me, here's what I'm going to ask. Let's just say Arizona wanted pitchers back. You could have traded any of those catcher prospects that you have, because you know Dingler is the real deal and he's staying. So there's again, he talks about blocking players from coming into the league. Well, then get rid of one of those guys and get you a bona fide third baseman that's going to maybe offset you losing some of those pitchers. I mean, I just don't know. You just have to take a chance sometimes. And, John, you know that better than anyone. So
yeah, and I think you just you put the chance that he's taking. You said at some point he's going to have to take a chance and believe in his team. I think that's what he just did. He took a chance of not making more drastic moves because he believes in his team. Right or wrong, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Your odds aren't as good right now to win a World Series as they were on Thursday. You may be a better team, but Seattle is more better. Yankees are more better.
A texter helped us. Even better.
Yes.
We're looking for even better. Yeah. It's 97-1.
Hey, value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have a question about my finances, I turn to my bank, and that's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants Bank doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They take the time to learn about my life and my personal financial goals, and they work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. That's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, not just as a number, and they do all they can to help their customers and their communities succeed. You can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers. They live and work here, and they know and are passionate about the needs of the local community, because it's their community as well, and we all work together to help our communities continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.
Scott Harris, president of baseball operations. I'm really interested in that. The guys they would have had to move would have haunted us. Well, we knew they weren't giving up Clark, McGonigal, Lorenzo, Briseño. So who, even the next group of guys would haunt us?
Well, I'm guessing that, I mean, so we knew that for Suarez, they wanted pitchers. Now, I know that it wasn't always pitchers that they ended up getting, because
the first
14
baseman
and 15 were pitchers from the Seattle farm system that they sent to
the centerpiece was a triple-A first baseman.
Right.
Yeah. Now, from Detroit's standpoint, like, okay, Melton could be the guy he's referring to that's helping them as recently as this season. But the idea that Haiyu Lee and Max Anderson, like all of these guys will haunt us if we trade them. It sounds like a guy who's falling in love with his prospects. Because you didn't have to give up Clark and McGonigal to get Bednar or Duvall,
right,
who the Yankees added. On top of Jake Bird, who you kind of liked from Colorado. They added all three of them, all beyond this year. They're not rentals. but Scott would be haunted if he gave up any of these guys. And it's why a rival exec said he didn't want to give up anything of value, which then means you didn't get anything of value. I mean, I like Finnegan, but it's Finnegan right. and friends. It's a lot of projects. I mean, the Ticket Text jokes are writing themselves. I just saw Scott Harris walking out of Goodwill, two suits in hand on my way to work.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like he went to Costco last night because he ended up with, what, six new arms? And one of them's 41. The other, you know, there's one that you can look at and say, we could count on Finnegan to produce.
I think you're getting better quality at Costco.
Yeah, you might.
More like a Dollar Tree, like the Dollar General. Bottom bargain prices.
Yeah, like but they felt like he went in and threw a whole lot of darts against the board
yeah.
and bought in bulk to see what works. And because he didn't give up much for anything.
No, I think the highest rated player they gave up in the system was a 14th player, and he was far away. The 15th right. player was a reliever in high A. No, they didn't want to give up anything, and they didn't get very much of anything. And we've asked you guys. I said pathetic. You can put a word on it. You can give it a grade. I gave it a D. It's not John's thing. Could be your thing. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Kevin in Garden City. You're on 97.1.
Oh, I think Kevin just hung up on us.
Perfect timing. Rob in Port Huron. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, my thing is everybody wants Suarez, the Suarez guy. Okay? He's hitting, having a great year.
Yep.
Well, he's having a great year in Arizona. What kind of year would he have at Comerica Park? He was with the Tigers once before, I believe. I've heard you say. Why did he leave if he was that great?
We traded him away, and he's since hit over 300 home runs in his professional career. His OPS is higher than Riley Green, more homers, less strikeouts. I'm not telling you he's the best hitter on the team. You could argue he would be.
He's had 36 home runs this year, and maybe, I don't know, two of those aren't out at Comerica?
The majority are at home, but I'd point out that more home runs have been hit at Comerica than where they play in Arizona. Like across baseball, more home runs have been hit at Comerica than their ballpark.
But, yeah, like I say, you know, I've heard he's a strikeout.
So is Riley Green.
He is.
Do you not like Riley Green? Do you think he's not a instrumental part of this baseball team?
No, I do. But I think what the Tigers need is somebody that can get base hits, not home runs. I mean, home runs are great.
Yeah, I hate homers. I'd rather have singles.
But we get people on base. We need people to bring them home.
No, I understand your point. Like, the gap-to-gap, it plays to Comerica Park. They do like to go first to third. They're like an elite base-running team first to third. Like, I understand that point.
Yeah, they may be an elite base-running team first to third, but you got to put bat on ball. And if you're going to strike all the time, there's no way to advance runners.
But the trade-off is if you can leave the yard with one swing of the bat. See, postseason baseball is all about...
I'm not supporting what he had said.
When you get in the playoffs, like the moments are condensed. There's only a couple big at-bats that swing a game. And if you get a single, you can start a rally. If you leave the yard, you can flip the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even meet him here. Fine. Let's say Suarez isn't the guy. Or you prefer bullpen. John, you were famously...
Bullpen.
Arm in a bat, not bat in an arm. The big bullpen arms were dealt for reasonable prices that didn't require them to mortgage the future, and they still didn't make those deals. Steve, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, Jimmy. Colin here from Seattle. This topic's actually been brought up out here a number of years ago with DePoto about making the playoffs versus pushing all in on the World Series. And a lot of the argument has been, you have a better chance making the playoffs 9 out of 10 years versus pushing it all in 1 or 2 years. And while I agree that Suarez, I mean, Seattle got him on a steal and Tigers should have been more involved in that, I think the narrative that he just wants to make the playoffs and that's it is flawed. He wants to make the playoffs every year. And whether it's with the Scooble window or the Bacatico window or the, you know, whoever they draft.
Does he want to win it? Does he want to win it when he's there? And can he show his work to do that? But that's one thing to say it. It's nothing to do it.
Well, he's only in year three, and he has the best record over the last calendar year.
Right, but Steve, at this trade deadline, he came in with a war chest, a pipeline overflowing with prospects, the best record in baseball, his ace pitcher only under control for this year and next year. Why was this not the time to do it? Why is year four the time to do it? Or year five? Why is that going to change, is I guess what I would ask. You say it's only year three. Why is it going to change?
I can't answer that. Only Harris can answer that, obviously. But my point is, I think going on his statement, he's saying there wasn't a deal out there for me to give up, whether it's my sixth best player, prospect, 10th best prospect. He's saying, I'm in it for a long haul. I trust my process over a window.
Right, and we would all love to be in the playoffs 9 out of 10 years. But in that 9 years, how many of those do you have a great chance to win a World Series?
Right. And it felt like with a good deadline, this would have been one of those years.
Could have competed.
Yeah.
And you could still compete.
They still will compete. They're not going to cancel the season. Ticket Texter says, their word to describe the season, Iserman-like. And see, I think that's unfair. I know why people do it. They're both conservative in terms of the moves they make. They're both Illich-owned properties. Iserman is so much worse than anything Scott Harris has done.
Well,
it's not fair to do that to Scott, to lump him in with a guy who can't get out of his own way and make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, he's been here 3 years, and if we give general managers a mulligan on their first year because they're still figuring things out, trying to get their own guys, trying to, you know, do some things, he will be in the postseason this year.
Yes.
And so he will have been in the postseason 2 out of the 3 seasons that he's been here.
Job done.
Well, it's not done until you win a World Series. And I know you're going
to
say
it. I want him to say it and do it.
He's going
to
say it.
Say it and do it. Do both.
I think the comparison between the two is that they both want to see the guys they drafted see it through.
Falling in love with your prospects could be said of both men. Texter says, Charlie Morton still playing? Question mark. And a texter points out he was still alive the last time the Tigers won the World Series.
Where's Johnny?
Johnny Morton.
He's the OC for the Lions. Johnny Moe.
What else we got? We didn't make big splashes because all the other teams wanted our big prospects, so we're not going to sell them in a trade. Quit whining, Costa. The team is better. Shut up, fool. You love when people make fun of me. He starts smiling.
I do.
Whiny fans can call in, but they shouldn't host. Jim, you're a whiner. Let it play out, all caps. Did you send this one in?
No.
Says, I can remember when Jared Washburn was Jared Washout. Not every trade's going to work. We'll find out at the end of the season.
Yep.
One ticket texter says that, John, continue to preach. You're the level-headed person. Everyone else is screaming. Sky's not falling. We can go win this.
We can.
I'm looking at the clock, sorry. We'll get more calls next, 97.1.
Hey, Dr. B at Michigan Hair Restoration is celebrating 30 years of helping thousands of guys across Southeast Michigan regrow their hair and restore their confidence. And to celebrate, he's giving you $1,000 off any hair transplant to mark the milestone. Dr. B is a true pioneer, one of the first to use your own hair to stimulate new growth. What once seemed like science fiction is now changing lives right here in Michigan. He believes in it so much. Not only has he had the procedure himself, he performed it on his own son last week. So forget about outdated methods. No stitches, no staples, no embarrassing scars. Just real results with hair you can run your fingers through. He offers the most advanced treatments, including natural therapies that keep improving, and he guarantees all of them. So the sooner you go to see Dr. B, the more options you'll have. So book now at MichiganHairRestoration.com and make sure to mention 97.1 to unlock your exclusive $1,000 off before it's gone.
Right back to the phones. We'll get Heather's news in the mix. Reacting to the trade deadline, your word for the deadline, grading the deadline. Did they do enough to chase the World Series? Yesterday, Tom, you told everybody they needed to check my Twitter if they didn't do anything.
Well, as yesterday's show went on and who had already been traded in the market, you were kind of anticipating it would be
underwhelming.
Very underwhelming. Yeah. And so I was just saying, you know, the deadline was at 6. You guys out there listening, this is your little homework assignment. You need to go to Twitter, check out Costas' probably sometime after 6.
Did you do it?
A potential meltdown.
Oh, I did it about 6:45.
I thought about it, but I was
You didn't do it?
No, because,
it can be toxic, I know.
Yes, and we were finishing up dinner. I was watching the pregame show at 7, and I was sitting there at 6:30 going, 7 o'clock, I can't hear fast enough. And I didn't want to be brought down by his Twitter.
So it was about 6:30, and this is what it was. Just bumped into Scott Harris, and then there's a picture of the Dollar Tree. So the question is, what were you buying at Dollar Tree? You're a big buyer. You would never go to...
Yeah, dinks don't go there.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. But it's apt. And it blew up because it was funny. Like, people looked at that and said, yeah, sounds about right. Our GM's bargain bin shopping. There's truth in the humor there.
Technically, though, like, with this to a degree, again, it's not about spending here more than, like, willing to move assets. Like,
well, they would haunt him if he traded them. That's what he said.
Like the world, or go to something like the Gibraltar Trade Center or something like that back in the flea market.
Get to Drew. You're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
So I was listening to the show yesterday. You know, it's trade deadline day. You know, lots of hope filling the air. What are we going to do? We're at the top of the AL, you know. And as the trades get announced, I just, my spirit just goes down a little bit every time. First, it's Paul Sewald, which is like, okay. Then it's Kyle Finnegan, who's not awful, but he's definitely not your impact guy that you'd want. And then, you know, getting down to 6, you're like, are the Tigers going to do anything else? And we trade for a big impact guy in a 42-year-old Charlie Morton with a 5.5 ERA. And I just think that's kind of ridiculous.
Now, hold on, Drew. If you take out the month of April and July, he happens to be a very fine pitcher.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Never mind then. You know, he's going to change the Tigers. We're going to the World Series now. But I'm not saying we should trade any of our top dogs like McGonagall or Max Clark, but I think all the other guys, like the lower-end prospects, you know, it's no guarantee they're going to be like these studs, these guys who are going to impact winning. You know what is a guarantee? We are tied for first in the AL. I mean, I just feel like you don't get here that often. I feel like you have to make some sort of move. Even a Bednar, not that expensive, that could have helped out a lot. But no, let him go to the Yankees, who are also in the AL.
Yeah, the Yankees gave up their number. They're 8-14 prospects. And then they added...
We could have done that.
Right. They absolutely could have. We had Morosi on yesterday. He said teams are always going to call the Tigers to verify because of how strong this farm system is. Mm-hmm. Yankees not only added Bednar, they went out and added Doval from San Francisco. And then Jake Bird from Colorado. And none of them are rentals. So even if you're not doing the, like, Jim's all upset about the Suarez thing, there were plenty of relievers that went at reasonable prices. Brian in Heartland, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Good.
Hey, yeah, you know, first of all, I'd say love this Tigers team. They're a blast to watch, but can't help being disappointed with the deadline. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting this weekend playing the Phillies. And I just picture the scenario happening where tie game, we throw in Canely, they hit a bomb, and then they go up, and then all of a sudden Duran comes in and slams the door. So we get a taste of, you know, what October could look like with these teams with elite closers where we stood pat and kind of, I know we added a couple of guys, but the level of reliever that the other, I would say, elite teams added is not, it's just not comparable.
Well, yeah, the Phillies gave up quite a bit. It was 2 top 100 prospects, but it wasn't for a rental. I mean, their closer is going to be under team control for 3 postseason runs for them. Mm-hmm. It's very Dombrowski, right? And I would point out the Dombrowski method, while it didn't deliver a World Series here in Detroit, has won him 3 different World Series.
Yes, he's been successful.
And he's been to like 6 pennants, give or take. Like, it's a pretty proven method of push some chips in, go for it, take a crack at it, and he's been rewarded handsomely for it. Let's get to Heather with the news.
A Sterling Heights man is facing felony charges after getting into an argument and using his truck to crash into another vehicle multiple times. So this man and another person got into an argument. They were at the Puff Cannabis Company in Utica.
Oh, okay.
You think maybe they'd be a little relaxed.
And, yeah, chill.
And they weren't. The argument escalated on a side street, and the suspect jumped in his truck and crashed into a white van twice. In that van was the driver, the person I believe he was arguing with, and a passenger. Well, the driver of the van, who is a CPL holder, fired multiple shots at this guy. And now this guy, 28 years old, was arrested, charged with assault with a dangerous weapon. And the Macomb County prosecutor says violent and reckless behavior on our roads puts everyone at risk. And his office remains committed to holding accountable those who choose to escalate arguments into criminal acts. Mm. Yep. I think we can all agree that Adam Sandler is not, you know, a fashion icon, right?
No.
Yeah, we're not rushing out to buy his baggy t-shirt and big baggy shorts, but he rocks that look, and he has for a long time. And if you've ever wondered why he likes to dress in baggy clothes, he recently said that it started as a joke when he was young. When it comes to Happy Gilmore 2, Swifties think that Taylor may have secretly made a cameo. I mean, there's cameos by so many people in this movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give away a little bit of it. I mean, it's been out now. There's a scene. It's a dream sequence. Bad Bunny imagines himself tying up Travis Kelce and then a bear, right?
With honey on his chest.
Yeah. Well, Swifties think that Taylor Swift may have been in the bear costume.
Oh, come on. What?
Come on.
That's just what they think, because he's the way it's attacking Travis Kelce. Adam Sandler has shot down this rumor, so it's not true. He says he didn't even ask Taylor because he didn't want to bother her. But
they thought she was in the bear suit.
Come on. That's so bizarre.
I know. Passengers on a recent Delta flight thought that they were going to die. They thought the plane was going down when extreme turbulence hit. The flight, which was headed to Amsterdam from Salt Lake City, made an emergency landing after service carts, people, crew members were just flying around the plane. The turbulence was so bad that passengers were convinced that, yep, this was going to be it. They were screaming. They were terrified.
Yeah.
And 25 of them had to go to the hospital afterward to at least be checked out.
Wow. Yeah.
It's always scary. I mean, I hate flying in general, and turbulence is always scary. But it sounds like this was
a little bit more than just turbulence.
Way more extreme than even the pilot said. It was unexpected. It wasn't something, and maybe that's why too, able to give. Because sometimes pilots will say, "Yep, just be prepared. Please put on your seatbelt. We're about to hit some turbulence."
Oh, sure.
Here.
They'll tell the flight attendants, "Hey, put the carts away because and the flight attendants are going to sit down for a little bit until we get through this rough air."
So it sounds like this was unexpected. So things weren't locked in, right? Yeah. Locked down, and a lot of people were injured. So finally, the coroner's report on Hulk Hogan came back yesterday. As expected, he did die of a heart attack, but there was something kind of shocking in this report as well. He also had leukemia.
Yeah.
No word on when he was diagnosed, right? We don't have that answer, but he never disclosed it before. So that was kind of something a little bit more shocking in that report that nobody knew about. I mean, maybe somebody did, but we didn't as the public. Yeah, sad news.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Heather with the news. All right, as we wrap up a Friday show, we still got an hour plus. We're going to hit on some of the Lions from last night. You got Cookie Jar, a little fun Friday, some goofy questions. And yeah, some of the things Scott Harris said, I want to know if people agree with. It's 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch all your favorite sports, but especially football as we enter football season, is Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. And Cookies and I are going to be out there, I believe it's August the 22nd, doing the show live from Circa Resort and Casino. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Great to hear Dan Miller's voice on the radio.
Always
again.
Is.
Look, it's not the most pressing thing today, but we do need to carve some time out. A little bit of last night, Lions football. We'll do that. Cookie Jar and more. The Scott Harris sound that we played for people a little earlier was where he said he doesn't really buy a Tarek Skubal window. And he said that it's his job to make the playoffs. And now some people are saying, well, it's implied that's the way to win the World Series is by making right. the playoffs.
Kind of how I take it as well. But
I
he
took
didn't
it
say
as,
the words World Series.
I took it as a missed opportunity to solidify that that is your goal, because people have every right to question it when the moves you made yesterday back up just getting in and not winning it. It's the combination, John, right? Like, we had him on and he talked about, hey, the best way to win it is to be in it multiple times. So I know what he means, but then he needs to do that. He needs to put a product that's capable of winning the World Series that gives themselves the best chance to win the World Series. Do you agree with the first point, though, that the window with Skubal is an illusion?
Well, okay, it's what he's not saying. If he comes out and says, well, Skubal's going to be here for longer than 2 years.
Well, he could have just said, I'm going to shoot down the whole premise. We're going to try to keep him. He didn't say that either.
But he's in the middle of a negotiation. So I don't know how that affects the negotiation. Are they going to use words against? The whole Skubal thing. They have Skubal for this year and next year.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I have with it is I don't care if he's here. I do care. At this point right now, I don't care what they're doing with him in 27, 28, 29. I want to win now. And if you're going to have a pitcher that is only going to pitch 95 pitches, is only going to get you to the sixth inning, then what are you doing now to make this team better? And I know they went out and got Finnegan. That's why I was so adamant that they needed bullpen arms. And they went with the, let's see how many darts we can throw. And if we get six, do three of them hit? Do four of them hit?
Can we get Fetter like a bonus or something to making this guy work overtime?
Yeah, well, he's going to be earning his pay.
Absolutely will be. I believe there's a Skubal window. I believe in windows in sports. I think that's just natural. Athletes have primes.
Sure.
They can't play forever.
So whether or not it's Skubal's here or not, it's will Skubal be pitching in 27 or 28 if he is in Detroit at the same level he's pitching now?
Right. And I mean, the biggest thing is he just might not be here. But yeah, there's windows for the Lions. I know Holmes kind of bristles at that idea, but he can't keep all of his players, especially in football, the salary cap sport, a sport that's so brutal. And 1 minute you think you're going to play forever, and then you have some nagging injuries that impact your career. There's windows in all of sports. I mean, to reject the idea that there are windows seems silly. Like, as a executive of a team, I would think you'd be acutely aware of, like, well, this is when we're going to have a lot of guys under team control. This is when we're going to have a lot of guys at cost control. This is when we're going to have the biggest ammunition to add pieces. Like, there absolutely are windows in pro sports.
Yeah. And then you're looking at, okay, well, what does, if he's not looking at windows and you've got team control of Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, you go down the list of guys they have team control of. And then when they don't, that's when you're supposed to have Max Clark, McGonagall, Briseño, all of these other guys. So are they never going to extend their guys? Are always just going to be able to backfill with prospects?
Yeah, but I guess what you're describing then is like a perpetual team that gets in and doesn't win, right? Because you never stack, you just replace.
Right.
You never trade those top 10 prospects.
But I don't think that's the case. I think you complement with some of those guys. And at some point, there's going to be a decision on Riley Green. They already made a decision on Colt Keith.
Yeah.
So what's that decision going to be? Is he going to be a guy that hits 40 home runs this year? Next year, it's still 40, and maybe he cuts down on the strikes, strikeouts until he gets to that contract year. You extend him, and then you bring in McGonagall and Clark and all those other guys that are supposed to complement him?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I guess I just reject the premise that if they had traded some semi-promising prospects, that it would have compromised their ability to compete 3 and 4 years from now.
So guys, I think they're operating with multiple windows. And I think window number one has always been about 2027. You were going to get Javi off the books and you were going to either have Skubal or not have Skubal.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you let the young guys come up and be groomed. And so that window's still open. And I think that's priority number one. I really, really do.
I would agree, based on his actions, that they view 27 as when things are supposed to start to crystallize. But the problem is, and it's a good problem to have, they cut corners in a way. Like, they skipped in line. They're ahead of schedule, is how some of our callers put it. They're ahead of schedule. So are you willing to do what's necessary to capitalize on that, to stay ahead of schedule? Or it sounds like the way he approached this is gravy, whatever happens this year. And what happens next year is gravy.
In some ways, that word's right. Maybe that's too strong, or that can be a critical word in some ways, the word gravy. Like, this is just, oh, we're just getting this on the candy on top of the dessert or whatever. You know, it's like, I think what's happened is he doesn't want to jeopardize priority number one, but then window number two is right now. And he's trying to supplement that without ruining the other window. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, they moved Keith to first with every intent that Spencer Torkelson wasn't going to be on this team. Well, Torkelson earned it.
Yeah.
So they allowed it and they shifted back. And
you
now
adjust.
They moved because they were going to put Keith at first because McGonagall is going to be in the middle of the infield there, either at short or second potentially. Jace Young was probably still in the picture.
Yeah.
So I think it is a little bit of a pendulum balancing act. And I don't think he'll ever let the pendulum fall on the window of 2027. Now, is that right to do? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's wrong. I mean, we're all entitled to our opinion. I would say right in the here and the now, while things are cooking, you should try to eat. You should try to chase that championship because tomorrow's not promised. And I'll use a player that's not a Scott Harris guy, but yesterday the Tigers needed to make room, so they released Matt Manning. Now, they eventually worked him into a trade for a player who doesn't even have a baseball reference page. It was just to get something for him. Matt Manning at one point was a number 9 overall pick. He was not only a top 100 prospect, I believe he got as high as maybe in the 20s. This is a premier, pristine prospect. Ain't no good. That's just the reality. So for Scott to say it's going to haunt us, maybe.
But
or maybe they're going to get DFA'd by the Oregon 5 years.
See, this is all going to come down to his talent evaluation.
Right.
Because he didn't see the talent in Matt Manning. A lot of people speculating every time they needed an arm to come up, bring up Matt Manning. What about Matt Manning?
He just might not be very good.
That's what Scott. So I would actually put a feather in Harris's cap on that a little bit.
Oh, I'm not using Manning against Scott. I'm just using him as an example of what we think these guys are going to, like, Clark, I shouldn't even say this out loud, might get DFA'd in 5 years. Like, that's just the reality of being a minor league ball player, even if you're a top 10 player in the prospect pool.
But Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies, they don't have a 2027 window right now.
Right. Tom, that's the key. You're competing with teams who aren't compromising, who aren't trying to do two windows.
So if the Tigers, no way in heck were the Detroit Tigers at this deadline going to trade Briseño and Melton for the reliever from the Twins.
Right.
No way.
Right.
And that would have been the equivalent of what the Phillies gave up. But the Twins were asking for more at that time, and Dombrowski stared him in the eye and said, I'm not doing it. This is my best offer. You want to get two top 92 prospects somewhere
Good
else?
Luck.
Go find them. And the Twins were, now they showed their hand after the fact, that they were going to sell the farm.
Yeah. Well, and Dombrowski's Phillies are more aggressive, and you have to compete with teams that are more aggressive, which puts you at a disadvantage if you're trying to hold up and prop up 2027.
And ironically, they play each other tonight and tomorrow and Sunday, so it could be an interesting Monday.
What's it, Flaherty tonight and Scooble tomorrow?
Do we know Sunday? It was supposed to be Melton, but now he's to the bullpen,
I don't mind.
By the way. I think Melton, you throw 98, you're always going to watch a guy's innings as a young arm.
Morton.
He was always kind of destined for the post for the bullpen. Yeah, it could be Morton.
Get a chance to see what the old guy looks like.
Six shutout innings and we come in here Monday morning.
Oh, please. Please. You're not rooting against
I'm not
that.
Rooting against the guy either. Look,
no.
I hope he finds a fountain of youth. It'd be phenomenal. Yeah, Chase.
Yeah. And they bring in Finnegan to finish it off.
The alternative is there too, though.
Sure.
Where
that's why you play the game.
Durant comes out to one of those epic, he's got the best intro.
Oh, yeah.
Of any relief pitcher in baseball. He comes out and he throws heat, shuts the door. You're going, damn it.
Yeah, this is the first time that he walks out. Do they bring in whoever, you know, plays the trumpet in that live? I've seen that live. It is awesome.
I mean, that's worth giving up a top 100 prospect alone. Having that badass intro when he runs out onto the mound. I kid.
Yeah.
Let's talk Lions. You want to talk Lions. As soon as
I
say the word and you get this big smile, it was an event last night, football back. Now, we know it's preseason football, but John, there's some things people want to talk about, and you're at the...
Let's do it.
No exception to that. Let's get to it. 97.1.